Good morning or good afternoon, church. I think 11:45 already. Good afternoon, church. Oh, good morning. Okay, good morning. Good morning. Okay, before I start, I'd like to ask us a question, and that is, how are you doing spiritually today? Now, some of you say, how to answer that kind of question? So I give you MCQ, okay? You can either be struggling, surviving, stabilizing, succeeding, or shining. Now, how do you define that? Struggling means struggling, lor? That means you don't know how to live out your faith. You're being overwhelmed by the worldly values around you. You don't know how to be a Christian. Those of us who are surviving, these are the TGIF Christian. Thank God it's Friday. I make it for the week. They come to church to be charged up. Okay, so these are the surviving Christian. The stabilizing Christian are those who have pluses and minuses, but generally you know that you are above the water. Right? The succeeding Christian are those who really live out their faith, who know how to live out, how to balance the demands of the world and yet live out their faith. Alright? These are the people that say, oh, this one, Christian. Because they are Christian, they say, you Christian? This one is struggling and surviving. Alright, for those who are succeeding, people know that you are a believer. Now, the shining Christians are those who are really actively living out their faith. They are shaping their environment, they are shaping their workplace for the glory of God. Alright, so where are you? Now, don't have to give out your hands, don't have to tell me where you are, okay? Just make a mental evaluation. Where are you today? Alright? What kind of Christian are you today? Now, I want to suggest to you, regardless of what's your answer, that's not the most important question. The most important question is this. Where do you want to be? Say in 3 months' time. Say when 2018 come along, where do you want to be spiritually? Do you want to stay stuck at the struggling Christian? Or do you want to be at the succeeding and the shining Christian? Right? Our aim, our church aim is to help every one of us in BBDC to be Christians who are succeeding or shining for the glory of God. Because that's where we talk about effective priest and king. That's our prayer for all of you. Right? But I want to encourage you, do you know how to, if you are succeeding and you are shining today, how do you remain here? And for those of us who are struggling, those of us who are surviving, how do we move towards here? Do you want the answer? Y'all say morning. Y'all doesn't look like morning. Do you want the answer? Okay. The answer is the 7 pillars. And the 7 pillars are helpful for us to evaluate our church. Where are we? It will help us to grow to be an effective church. It will also help us to evaluate our cell group. It will also help us to evaluate our spiritual life. We need these 7 areas to help us to live our Christian life as one that's shining, as one that's succeeding in the marketplace. All right, so before we go further, let's pray and ask God to help us to understand this even more. Holy Spirit, we recognize our need for you. We ask of you, Holy Spirit, come and remove every distraction, every principalities, every powers that exalt itself up against the knowledge of God. We ask of you this day, Lord, dismantle every one of these assignments and help us to be able to hear the voice of God. Lord, on this point, I ask that indeed that I will decrease, but you will increase. Speak, Lord, speak to your people so that they will not hear words of men, but let them hear the very voice of God to encourage them in this journey of faith. Commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm the final speaker to bring to close to the entire series on 7 anointed pillars that Senior Pastor has shared with us, and you'll hear more from him next weekend when we celebrate our anniversary. But it's important for you and I to understand and to live out these 7 pillars. These 7 pillars is not just an idea. It's for us to live it out. Because when you live it out, we will be able to be effective priests and king for the glory of God. This is a quick summary of the 7 pillars. It talks about the fact that anointed worship, we need to learn how to connect to God. We need to know how to relate to God in worship. Whether from thanksgiving, worship, thanksgiving, praise, praise, thanksgiving, and worship. And then, of course, the anointed word. We need to be able to experience the word of God in our life, fulfilling the 2 Timothy 3:16, the fourfold purpose, all right, to teach, to rebuke, to correct, to train us in righteousness. It talks about open altar, anointed altar, that our hearts must always be open to allow the Lord to do a divine exchange in our hearts. We talk about anointed leaders, that we serve out of the overflow of God in our life. Then last week, we talked about anointed body life, that we need to love one another. We need to have a correct assessment of who we are, and we need to have a correct appreciation of the people around us. Then we talked about anointed ministry, serving one another. And then this week, we talked about anointed works, of faith, that we need to do the good works of faith. Now, it's very important for you and I to grow and allow this truth to be real in our life. It's not good enough to have a superficial understanding of this. Now, it reminded me of a story about a doctor and his patient. The doctor looked at the patient and said, "Sir, you're very sick. Alright? You really need to take medication. This is my prescription for you. Alright, you take this medicine on Monday, you skip on Tuesday. You take on Wednesday, you skip on Thursday. Friday, you take one more time. Saturday, Sunday, you skip. Then Monday, you repeat the cycle. Alright, it will help you. I see you in 2-3 weeks time." So the patient agreed. The patient is Mr. Z. Mr. Z agreed. 1 week passed. The doctor went to NTUC and saw Mrs. Z. So went up to Mrs. Z, said, "How are you and how's your husband doing? Is the medication taking effect in his body?" Then Mrs. Z replied, "Doctor, you didn't know?" I said, "I didn't know." He said, "My husband died." I said, "Oh dear, what happened? Didn't the medicine help?" I said, "Well, the medicine was very helpful. It was the skipping that killed him." Skipping? Y'all say morning, ayo. So that's the thing that you and I must catch up with. We cannot afford to have superficial understanding on the Word of God. Alright, because you will never be able to extract out the full benefit of God if you have only superficial knowledge of God. But for some of us, our problem is not to do with superficial. Our problem is choice. We pick what we want. You look at the 6-7 anointed, wow, too many. Maybe I like worship, I like the Word, I like altar, I like the leaders, I like body life, I like the ministries. Anointed works, must chou gang, I don't like. I think 6 can already. Do you know what you get? You get anointed constipation. Alright, if you take and take and take and you don't express out your faith, everything gets stuck inside and it's not a comfortable feeling, huh? Now, senior pastor have helped us to define for us what anointed works of faith is. This is word for word from the video earlier. And this is what the Lord told us to tell us to do. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. The Bible also says anything that's done without faith is sin. And therefore, the word of God exhorts us to do the works of faith. And then he went on to explain to us how to do that. He told us through sharing the gospel, through healing the sick, bring sight to the spiritually blind, give understanding to those who are unsure, bind out the brokenhearted, release those who are in bondage and oppressed. Then he went on to tell us where to do that. Okay, from the ministry, from our worship service, to cell group, to quarterly RTF, to everything, in all the ministry we have. Right, that we will touch life with the life of God, the light of the Word of God, the love of the Father God, and in the process, that they may find hope, they are delivered, they are restored, they are helped, and they find Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So senior pastor have helped us. He has defined for us what are works of faith. Right? From the natural activity to the supernatural activities. He has also defined for us where, from our weekend services to our daily life, we can live out the works of faith. But some of us, we are still struggling with, why must I do it? And so today, I'd like to share with you why we must do the works of faith. And let me give you 3 simple reasons why. Alright? Why must we work out the anointed works of faith in our life? Because it proves our faith of God. In God, sorry. It pleases our God, and finally, it points others to God. You want to go home early today? Tell the person beside you, 3 points only. A simple point, okay? Very simple point, okay? It proves our faith in God, it pleases our God, and it points others to God. Now, first thing first, alright? First, it proves our faith in God. Some of you may say that, "Pastor, have faith can already. Why must we have faith in, why must we do works of faith? Have faith can already." The question is, what kind of faith do you have? Because the Bible teaches us about 4 different types of faith. Dead faith, useless faith, demonic faith, and then finally, justifying faith. Which faith are you talking about? You see, when we think about faith and works, inevitably we will come to this book of the Bible called James. In James, it expounded for us the relationship between works and faith. Alright? So from James 2, 14 to 6, 26, in these 13 verses, it gives us the proposition of faith, the argument on faith, and finally the conclusion on faith. Now, there are 13 verses, but I think it's very important for me to take some time to unpack the verses for you. Alright, so I'm going to take about 10 minutes to teach. Alright, on this subject of faith. Verse 14. Verse 14 opens up with two rhetorical questions. Basically, James wrote this, okay? He says that someone says he has faith but no works. So the question is, for a person who has faith and no work, what use is it? Then the second question he asks is, can that faith save him? What's the answer? Rhetorical. So the answer will be? Well, you're not very participative today, huh? Let me try again. The answer will be? No. Alright? No. Now, James is a very practical man, so when he said that out, and then he go on to explain to us in practical way why it is not helpful. He tells us that if a brother or sister who is without clothing and who is in need of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Now the term go in peace, be warm and be filled, this is a religious greeting. Alright, in those days. In today's context, what do we tell people? God bless you. That is what I say. So basically what I say, you can tell if somebody is hungry and you look at a person, so poor thing, God bless you. Is it helpful? So James is a very practical person. James is telling us, it's not helpful. Alright, it doesn't achieve anything. But thank God for us in BBTC, we have BCCSC, we have various ministries, we really want to live out our faith. For people who are hungry, for people with needs, we try our best to help people practically. Alright? In fact, as we look into the future, we realize that there's a growing need for us to grow in helping people with special needs children. Now, I want to confess to you that when we look in the church, we look at BCCSC, we don't have the resources to help them. And we are not contented. We find that if this is something that's happening in Singapore, we need more help. And some of you, if you are led and you want to feel like we should start a ministry to help these special kids, come and talk to us. Right? We really want to do something to help these people. Now, I want to come to this part again. Verse 17. This is where the proposition. Right? So faith, if it has no work, is dead by being itself. Right? So the proposition of faith is this. Faith minus work is dead. Dead faith. If your faith is only God bless you and there's no expression of you doing something about it, it is dead. That's the proposition. Now, James didn't end there. James goes on to make a case for it. Alright, so in verse 18, it tells us this. Alright, but someone may well say that you have faith and I have work. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. So what James is really saying in verse 18 is to tell us there's a need for the proof of your faith. There must be evidence that your faith truly saves you. Why does he do that? He does that because he's trying to bring to the next verse, verse 19. He's setting up for the verse 19 for us. Verse 19, you believe that God is one. Now, for us when we read God is one, you're like, okay. But for them, it's very special because he is calling back to their declaration, their great Shema declaration in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, for thy Lord thy God is one. Alright, so when James says God is one, he's bringing back to their declaration of faith that you and I believe that God is one. Like what we sang earlier, we believe that God, you know, that's not the song, we believe. So he's bringing to mind their declaration that God is one. And he said that, that's good, you believe, that's good. Then he sneaked in this part, the demons also believe. You believe in God. The demons also believe in God. In fact, the Bible says that the demons don't just believe in God. What happened to the rest? What happened to his belief? He's shackled. There's fear. There's fear upon the hearts of the demons if they have hearts. Alright? I don't know whether demons have hearts. I don't know, okay? But the demons know what you know. The demons feel about the truth that you know. But are the demons safe? Obviously, they are not saved. They are saved. You don't hear converted demons, right? Demons are not saved. Why are they not saved? They are not saved because of verse 20. It tells us, but you are unwilling to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless. You see, while the demons know the scripture, while the demons know the declaration of faith, the demons even feel it. But when there's no works of repentance, when there's no works of faith, it is useless. This is what we call the demonic faith or useless faith. See, some of us, we know the Bible, we know the scriptures, we know the declaration of our faith. But we may not even feel it. The demons felt it. But yet, they are not safe. Why they are not safe? Because without works, it is useless. Now, so basically, James is telling us that in verse 20, faith alone by itself, with no expression of work, is useless. Alright? Now, just in case you're not convinced, James continued to illustrate for us with two Old Testament characters where they live out their faith with works. Alright? First, of course, he will refer to the greatest symbol of their faith. In this case, Abraham. Alright? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Now, another word for the word perfected is completed. In other words, faith plus work, completion. Alright? Faith plus work, perfected. You need faith and work to perfect your faith. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saying, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him and righteous, and he was called friend of God. Alright? His faith is completed when he believed God, even to the point of sacrificing Isaac. He literally plunged the knife into Isaac. Why? Because he believed that there's a work of faith required of him. The faith with the works complete his faith, and God stopped him. Verse 23, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, based on the whole context, I want to suggest to you that verse 24 can be read another way. You see that a man is justified by works of faith and not by faith alone. Can you see the contrast? Right? James is not saying that we don't need faith. He said you need faith with works, not faith alone. Alright? Then, of course, he went on to his politically sensitive. So, besides talking about men, he now talks about women. Okay? In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when he received the messenger and sent them up by another way? See the story of Rahab. He believed the God of the Jew. He believed the God of the Hebrew. Although he was at his own country, and as the army comes, when the spies visited her, she protected them, she kept them, and in fact, she advised them where to go so that the kingdom of God can come into her city. And because she did that, because she worked her faith was expressed with works, she's reckoned as righteous. Verse 26 is the conclusion. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So simple equation, body minus the spirit equal dead. Right? Faith minus work equal dead. That's what James is saying. All right, you can see that from these 13 verses, you heard about dead faith, useless faith, demonic faith, and you also hear about justifying faith. The faith that justifies is one that expresses itself through works. But some of you may say that, but Pastor, isn't there a verse in the Bible that says that we are saved by faith and not by works? You're right. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now herein is where you must understand the context. Alright? For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not a result of works that no one should boast. For we are His workmen, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. Now you must understand the context when James was written and the context that the book of Ephesians was written. Now James, again, the book of James is very interesting. They cannot really pinpoint who wrote James. Whether James the apostle, James Jesus' brother, or James the lesser. Now I don't want to bore you about all the arguments. Because the main point is, the book, what's the purpose of the book? The purpose of the book is about that we need to combat superficial faith. On the other hand, Ephesians is written in 1862 by Paul, and it was written against a group of believers who believe that by observing the law, they are safe. So in other words, they are both writing the same thing, two different sides of the same coin. They are writing to help us to understand what is the right faith. James is writing against works without faith, and Paul is writing against your dependence on external faith alone. Now, what is true faith? Now let me, before I explain it again, let me just share with you briefly what it means in today's context. James is writing to tell people, if you say that you really believe in God, and in your life there's no sign of God's transformation power in your life, there's no desire for God, when there's no desire to become more like Jesus, James is saying, I'm not sure about your faith. On the other hand, Paul is saying to the group of people, that just because you believe in circumcision, just because you believe in tithing, just because you believe that you obey the law of God, therefore you are saved. Paul is saying that that's not how you get saved. Now what is saving faith? Saving faith, first and foremost, is a grace of God. Right, so by grace, right, it's a grace of God. Saving faith in our hearts is a grace of God that comes into our hearts. Help us to recognize that we need God. And not only that, it helps us to know that we need God. It moves us to do something, be it repentance, be it going to God, to do the things that God has ordained for us. Saving faith empowers us. Genuine faith empowers us to do the works of faith. The work with faith complete the process for us. That's why in BBTC, we want to emphasize works of faith. Not just faith alone. Alright, so you must understand the context of the various texts. So why do we need to do the anointed works of faith? Because it proves our faith in God. If you are a genuine believer of God, the Lord will guide you to do something. Why is the Lord speaking to your hearts today? What is the work that God wants you to do that will complete your faith today? Right now, but some of you may say that, but Pastor, I got faith, but I'm still struggling in my faith, but I can't do the works. Does that mean that I'm like the demons? Hear me loud and clear. You are not, okay? I'm just giving you the exposition of the text. That's why I showed you earlier, there are five different levels of our spirituality. We need the grace of God to do the works of God. Okay? Now let me move on to the second reason. The reason why we need to do the works of faith is, first of all, it proves our faith in God. Secondly, it pleases our God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. The word is very clear. Jesus, the writer of Hebrews did not say, it is hard to please God. He did not say, sometime you can't please God. What does it say? It is impossible. You cannot please God apart from faith. Right? So what does that mean? What does it leave us? That means that we must live by faith. You look at the verse, the tenses, is who comes to Him, who seeks Him. It's a present tense. It's a lifestyle. It's a day by day, moment by moment expression of faith. It is not once off. It is not once off saying, oh, because I say the sinner's prayer, that's it, The Lord will be pleased with my life. No, the Lord will not be pleased with your life just because you say once. Reminded me of a married couple, and the wife complained, my husband never tells me he loves me. Then the husband defended himself. No, I did. I told you I love you on our wedding vow. No, you know that's not good. That's, for those of us who are married, that's not good enough, right? So in the same way, our journey with God requires to walk up our faith day by day, moment by moment. Alright? Now there's another verse. Hebrews 10:38. And my righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You know, we always talk about pleasing God. Do you know how to displease God? The Bible tells us how to displease Him. How do you displease God? When you don't live by faith. Alright? When you string back from obeying, when you string back from believing, when you string back from doing what He has called you to do, you will displease God. The question is, have you ever thought, why faith pleases God? Do you know why is it so important that the righteous shall live by faith? Why is it that faith pleases God? I'd like to suggest to you that faith pleases God because faith is an expression of your trust in God. Now some of you are still finding these words very abstract. So let me tell you a story. All right? Imagine that I'm a tightrope walker. Tightrope means someone with this, it means he tried to walk across a wire over two points. So you try to imagine that this is a tightrope here, okay? Alright, so imagine I'm a tightrope walker. My name is Dan. Okay, never mind. You all don't know the underlining joke. Okay, never mind. So Dan is a tightrope walker. Then Dan asks a question. Do you all believe that I can walk across this tightrope? And your answer is? Okay, we say we believe, can? Okay? Do you believe that I can walk across this tightrope? Okay, so I walk across. And then when I reach this end, what will happen to all of you? You will cheer, you clap, right? Yes. Then I says, do you believe that I can walk across this tightrope blindfolded? We believe, okay? 1, 2, 3. Okay, then I blindfold myself, I walk across. Okay? Then when I reach this point, I take out my blindfold, and what do you do? You're warming it up. Okay, then I say this, do you believe that I can carry one of you and walk across this tightrope? You will say, we believe, right? Then the final question. Any volunteer? So you get the point. But suppose. Elder Kok Guan volunteered. Alright? Woo! Now, so I carried Elder Kok Guan. I walk across this tightrope. Alright? And I put Elder Kok Guan down. And both of us are safe. What will happen to all of you? Question. How does the tightrope walker feel towards Elder Kok Guan? Pleased, isn't it? You'll be very pleased with him. Because in a crowd of many people who cheer that we believe, there's only one true believer. You get the point? It's easy for us to say we believe. It's another when you put your hand, your life, in the hand of God. And when you really put your life in the hand of God, it's really when you really show God that you really trust Him. You trust Him with your life. And when you do that, it pleases the Father. It pleases God. Right? There can be many, many who say that they believe. The question is that how many will really work, act out their belief. That's why it's called works of faith. God has been doing many wonderful things here in this church. God has healed many people. God has done a lot of wonderful miracles in the lives of many people. The question is that do you believe that God can use you? Do you believe that God can do all these works of miracles, all this healing, all this special ministry through you? Do you believe? Oh, so quiet. Do you believe that God can use you? Okay, I hear Pastor Eve. Let me try again. Do you believe that God can use you? Yes. You're scared I ask you to do something, is it? No, I'm just helping you to understand your heart. Now let me push it a bit further. Do you believe that God can use you today? See, that's where I'm helping you to understand what is faith. Alright? It must be something inside your heart. Yes, I believe God can use me. Not next year, not the year after, not when I grew up, but today, God can use me. Now, I have the privilege of mentoring some people, and I also mentor some people in the marketplace. So this particular person, she owns the tennis academy, and she was just sharing with you, this is a very recent story. She was, beside coaching the students in tennis, when they first joined her, they were primary school kids. Today, I don't know how old they are, because by then she said that they're still primary school to her. She not only teach them about tennis, she also teach them about the things of God. And one of the things that she taught them was to believe God, that God can use them. So one day, recently, this tennis coach injured the elbow. So cannot move the elbow, cannot open up the hands. So this group of students got very excited, because they believe that God can use them. Come, coach, let us pray for you. And not only that, they're so excited to do it, they are so full of faith, they actually took a video of the whole process. You want to watch that? Okay, so let's play the video.
Oh my gosh. Is it gone?
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. Bend your elbow.
Yay! Thank you, Lord!
God is good.
And what I'm doing like this, I'm trying to contract like this now.
Yay! Thank you, Lord!
See, the heart of the simple faith that believe that God can use them, and God used them. I'm not sure whether the coach was a believer, but he certainly experienced the healing of God. Do you think it pleases our Father? Now, I want to encourage us, not only that this group of children, kids or young people, they did it, even in our church, our youth, our young adults, recently in June, they have this conference that they attended, and they were encouraged to do works of faith, and so many of them went out. Alright, so you can see that some of them went to talk to elderly, some of them reached out to migrant workers, some of them felt led by God to buy things and give to the poor. Our young people are also actively involved in works of faith. I heard that people come to know the Lord as a result of this. I also heard a very interesting testimony of this particular sister. She prayed and she saw a lady, elderly lady in pink color. And she thought maybe lunch, so you know, that kind of picture came up. So when she went out to the street and she was looking out for people to bless, she saw this elderly lady in pink cross the road. Then she was excited, but she's not sure. So she asked her leader. Her leader said, "Let's go and check it out." So they followed this old lady. They realized that this old lady had problem carrying things. So they went to the old lady and said, "Can we help you to carry?" And the old lady would say, "Yes, lah." Huh? So let them carry. And then they followed the old lady all the way to the void deck. And the old lady said, "I must sit down." So the old lady sat down. And the old lady asked them, "Are you a Christian?" Proof of faith. I don't know about you, but I was very touched by some of these things that our young people are doing. They were of faith. And they continued their conversation with this old lady at the void deck, and they prayed for the old lady. And she wrote back to us, she says that the only thing is that we didn't get to share the gospel. To me, they have already lived the gospel. They have already in their life showed this old lady that they are sent by God to help her. And they even prayed for her. Aren't you glad that we have young people who dare to work out the works of faith? Are you pleased on behalf of God? Give the Lord a big hand, lah. Let's praise God. Now, I use that to encourage us. The children can do it. The youth can do it. The young adults can do it. Can we all adults do it or not? All right. But the years, that is slow coming. Now, I want to encourage us to do it because it pleases the Lord. I know deep down in all our hearts, we want to please God. I want to encourage you, the way to please God is to live by faith. Express your faith in works of faith. Before I move on to my next point, I want to encourage you. Why don't you take a minute right now? Ask God, "God, what do you require of me today? What would you like me to do for you?" So allow the Lord to speak to you. What does the Lord require of us today? So that we can do something that will please Him. Not because we need it for our salvation, but because we just want to please Him. I take a minute, ask God. And some of you may be led to send a message or prayer to somebody. Some of you may be led to just write it down so that you won't forget. It doesn't matter. Ask God, what does the Lord require of you? Okay, take a mental note of it. And purpose in your heart, you will do it after this. Alright? Now let me move on. Why do I encourage you to do anointed works of faith? Firstly, because it proves that our faith is real. Right? Because faith without works is dead. God says that if your faith is genuine, it will produce good works. Right? So it's a proof of our genuine faith. Secondly, it pleases God. When you live by faith, when you hear and obey, you pleases God. You show that God, the Lord, that you trust God. And then finally, it points others to God. It points others to God. The verse is Matthew 5:16. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father who is in heaven." When you do works of faith, what happens? God is glorified. God is glorified. The reason why we want to encourage all of us to do it is because we want God to be glorified in BPTC. We want you to do it so that God can be glorified in your life. So church, I want to encourage you, don't be pew warmers. Don't be just come here and sit in the service. Hear the word of God. Do the works of God. Do the works of faith so that you may glorify God. Question. Is it possible to do works of faith or do good works and God is not glorified? Is it possible? Is it possible for us to do good works and then God is not glorified? Okay, I hear you, Simon. The answer is yes and no. Yes, because you can do good works. And then what happened? People look at you and say, wow, you're such a good man. You're such a kind person. You're such a generous person. So what happened is that we can do good works and ended up we take the glory. Now there's a quotation, there's a statement. Incarnation without proclamation is self-glorification. Right? Can you imagine Jesus come on earth, do all the miracles, but he does not proclaim the kingdom? What happened? Right? The attention will be just on the person. But Jesus did not do that. Jesus said that, I come to do my Father's will. Right? The incarnation, the incarnate Christ came and he proclaimed the kingdom of God. He proclaimed that the kingdom of God is near. Why? Because he wanted to point all of us to the Father. So all of us, as followers of Jesus, we cannot do good works without proclamation. Otherwise, you are no different from any secular social workers. And that's not what we're trying to promote. But sorry, I don't mean to put down social works. But I'm trying to help us to know that you have a greater calling, and that's to be the children of God. All right, you will do good works, but you do good works so that you have to point people to God. Right? And Paul is so conscious of this. Paul warned us, Paul modeled for us in 1 Corinthians 2. He says that when I come to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, and that my message, my preaching, was not in persuasive words of wisdom. Now, if you know Paul, Paul is a persuasive preacher. Paul is an eloquent preacher. Paul is well-schooled. But he says that I did not come on all this, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith will not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. What was Paul trying to tell us? Paul says that I don't want you to get attracted to my human talents. I want you to be attracted to the power of God. I want you to be attracted to God. It's just like all of us, when we serve you, we do the ministry, we don't want you to look at us as the person helping you. It is God who is at work. And therefore, one of the ways to help us, not the only way, but one of the ways to help us to do things that point people to God is to do things that only God can do. So for example, we want to encourage you to share the gospel. We want to encourage you to pray for the sick. We want to encourage you to release word of wisdom. We want to encourage you to dare believe God for the miraculous. Why? Because when it happened, when these things happen, people know that it is because God make it happen. Because when you share the gospel, someone say the sinner's prayer. Is it because of your presentation? No, it's the Lord that convicted the person. When you pray for the sick, when the sick get healed, is it because of your touch? No, it's because the Holy Spirit moved through you and touched the person. So that is how we want to encourage you to step into the supernatural so that people will know, so that attention is pointed back to God. Right? Because miracles, signs and wonders, these are signposts to point people to God, not to the person, but to God. So I encourage you right now to sit back and watch a video of how a sister attempts to walk in steps of the miraculous to point this other friend to Jesus. So sit back and watch this video clip.
Sophia and I were secondary school friends, and at uni too, I met her again in NUS. So that was actually right after my prayer of wanting to reach out to people in NUS. So when I saw her again, I knew that she was someone that God wanted me to reach out to. It reached a certain point where Sophia said that she really wanted to believe what was the Bible saying about her and about Jesus, and she really wanted to believe in Jesus, but she just needed that proof that God is real. That Saturday, I went for YC service again. And that was a very unusual YC service. So I remember Pastor Cindy going on stage to share about testimonies of gold dust and how people receive gold dust, and it was a sign for some to strengthen their faith, a sign for some to come to the faith. So for me, I raised up my hands, and I remembered very clearly what I prayed, that I do not need to know that, God, you are real, because I know that you are. But if you would show me gold dust, then I will bring it to Soph, so that she may know that you are real. When I opened my eyes, there was a huge commotion, because a lot of people saw gold dust on their hands, including myself. But for me, it was like a half happy thing, because I remembered what I prayed. So now that I see it, I need to do something. The next week came, which was Tuesday, when we met again. I remember we went to this corner with a small table, and all of us put our hands on the table, and we started praying. We went on and on until 8 times, and I was late for my class, so we had to end there. So I felt like Friday was the deadline. Let's make Friday the mark. So I told her to go back and to continue praying while I continue to pray for her, and that we will ask God to show up by Friday.
And that was when the chat at night, on Friday night, you know, kind of lit up with a notification from one of the girls from the DG. I checked my phone, and as I read their descriptions, I realized that, hey, I think I saw some of this stuff on my hand on Wednesday night. And at that point in time, holding my phone, I looked at my palms as well, and I saw that I had received the gold dust. Thank God.
Allow me to just process this video for us. Now, I don't want you to draw your attention to gold dust, alright? I want to draw your attention to God. You see, the acts of faith, the works of faith, encourage Sophia to see God. In the process, she became a Christian, and today she is a serving cell leader among us. Now, some of you are still thinking about what does that mean. Let me try to make it concretize a bit for all of us. How many of you know where is 216? Those of you in Bedok know where is 216, right? Right? And then you close your eyes, you let your nose, you also can get to 216, right? You're very familiar. Because why you're familiar with this place, you know how to get around. But for those of us who stay in the west, stay in the north, huh, what, 216, 4D, yeah? We don't know what 216 means. 216 is actually a hawker center. Alright? Block 216. So, if for those of us who doesn't know where Block 216 is, how do you get to Block 216? You need GPS. You need signposting. Isn't it? Alright? So, that will help us to get there. So, it's just like Louisa doesn't need signs and wonders to help her to know that God is real. But who needs to know that? Some people. So in this case, Sophia. Sophia needs that. She knows that, God, if you're real, help me to see you in a tangible way. And God did that. So that Sophia can cross that path of unbelief to belief. Alright, so she became a Christian. And in Middle East, it's happening all over the world. All over the world, especially in Middle East, where a lot of people are asking God for tangible sign of His presence. And God manifests in different ways. And millions of people have come to know the Lord in this recent time because God showed up. And so, but I want to help you to understand that miracles, they are just signposts. That's why I put a picture of signposts. They just point us to God. Don't worship the signposts. You know why? Because some of you, you know, we ask for miracle. We ask for miracle of healing. And even if you receive healing, one day we will die. So I hope you understand the value of miracles, the value of signs and wonders are only of worth because it points us to God. Right? So and all this is just to help me to build this point that we want to encourage you to do works of wonder, works of miracles, works of faith to point people to God. Right? Point people. That's the ultimate aim of what we're doing. We want to point people back to God. Right? Works of faith, whether it's miracle, whether it's sharing the gospel, whether it's the word of knowledge, whether it is RTF, we want to point people back to God. Alright, we want to see God glorified in all that we do. Alright? We don't want people to just look to us. We want to point people back to God. Now, I want to make a quote. Anointed works of faith include all form of works, from the natural things we do, like feeding the poor, to praying for miracles. These are all anointed works of faith. If you engage faith and you point people to God. And that's what we want to encourage all of us in BBTC to do. All right? That let everything we do be an our expression of faith and point people to God. Why do we do anointed works of faith? Because it proves our faith in God. It shows people that our faith is real. We don't just believe, we believe, and our faith is complete by our works. It also pleases our God because it shows God that we trust God. And then finally, it points people to God where we work out in faith, where we do things that remind people about God. My senior pastor preached this sermon several weeks ago. You remember how he ended this sermon? He got all of us, this is a picture where he got all of us stand up and all of us, those of us who are not well, that we can feel the pain on our body, to stand up so that he can get the people around to pray for them. And so that this was at a corner where Elder Hock Chai and our brother Jeffrey to pray for somebody. Yeah? But I think many people were praying for many people, and we saw God healing people in the service. Now today as I come to this end, this concluding part of this sermon, we talk about anointed works of faith. I also need to create an experience for you to experience the work of faith. So I pray about God. I say, God, what can we do? What would you want me to do to encourage all of us to step up? Now, you see the principle here. Because this is a service, and we need to pray for things that you can see immediately. So that's why when we ask for those of you who are not well to stand up, well, so you can feel the pain. So that when we pray for you, you can sense the distinct difference immediately within the service. Alright? And that's what is needed for this kind of experience here. So for example, today, I want to pray that you will be able to see God. How many of you want to see God? You sure you want or not? Because the Bible says that no one can see God and live, you know. Alright? You see God, you die, you know. So what happened is that, but we can ask God to manifest Himself in various forms. Right? In various forms. I qualify in various forms. God can reveal Himself in many ways, in many forms. So we say, yeah, I want to see God in a dream. Can I? Then this service will end tomorrow morning, lor. So cannot. So because of time, I'm going to ask if it's possible that we pray for one item. And if this item happens, then it's God's way of telling you that He's here. Is that okay? Alright, so then, okay, if you're not comfortable, I'm going to ask God to show Himself to be here in this service by manifesting Himself in the form of gold dust among us. Is that okay? Now, I know some of you read about online articles about gold dust and say that, you know, there are a lot of controversy about it. So let me assure you, Pastor Seng Lee did not come early morning and put a lot of gold dust in the air. I didn't do that, okay? In fact, to really help you, I'm going to show you the prayer that we're going to pray. Okay, before that, I was sharing this with some of the leaders and asking the leaders for what they think. And one of the leaders among us shared with me about what he did. Right, so he did it at home. He prayed with his children and he experienced gold dust as well. So this is what he said to me. What does he achieve? Like Gideon's fleece, nothing and everything. He has no value of his own. But in seeing God do the impossible, the faith level of me and my children rise up to a point where we can believe that impossible things can happen. That's my heart as well. That's my heart of why I'm going to facilitate this, because I want to encourage you to see God at work so that your faith level can rise up. Alright? Now, I'm taking a lot of risk by doing this. Alright? Because I risk making some of you uncomfortable. And for that, I apologize. All right? I'm sorry if some of you feel like, Pastor, this is something that's really out of my understanding of God. I'm sorry. Let's journey along. Because my whole intention is to help us to grow in our faith. Okay? Hear my heart. And if you're still not comfortable, we can talk after this. Can I? Okay, so just to help us, I'm going to show you the prayer. Now, this is a very simple prayer. Basically, it says, so we call on Jesus, okay? So we're not calling on any spirit. Huh? Dear Lord Jesus, now, in accordance to your word, that our message, now, I quote scripture, not mere words, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, we ask for the release of your miraculous working power. Now, you don't have to read out the bracket. The bracket is just to show you where the scripture from. Huh? Now, specifically, we ask for the evidence of your presence through the appealing of shining particles on our palm. Now, why do we ask that? Some of you say, but Pastor, why don't you ask for healing? I'm going to ask for healing afterward. Okay? This is just part one. Part one, we ask for shining particles first. Why? Because I want to nurture faith. I want to encourage faith to rise up. Okay? And Lord, we please reveal yourself so that our faith may be stirred to believe you for greater things that you can do through us. Okay? I want to show you that this prayer is as biblical as scripture as can be. Alright? Can? Then you see amen times five. I'll tell you why times five later, okay? Now, if you really want to share with me, to join with me in this faith journey, can we all stand up and let's make this prayer together? Now, I don't want your attention to be focused on me, okay? So this is a prayer we all make together. Okay, so we all make together, and if God show up, it's because of God's grace and because of our corporate faith here. If God don't show up, it's all our fault, okay? Take away some pressure for myself. No pressure. Really, I feel like sometimes when we step into the supernatural, we don't have to crank things up. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It doesn't matter. What is important is we obey. Yeah, as I pray about it, I felt this is how the Lord wants me to encourage us in our faith to the best I know. So I'm just encouraging us. Alright, so at the count of three, let's read out this prayer together. Let's mean it with all our hearts. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Dear Lord Jesus, in accordance to your word, that our message is not mere words, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, we now ask for the release of your miraculous working power among us. Specifically, we ask for the evidence of your presence through the appearing of shining particles on our palms. Lord, please reveal yourself so that our faith may be stirred to believe you for greater things that you can do through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may now check your palm. Okay, if you see anything you're not sure, you can just wave. Okay? We can come to you. Or if you're not sure, you can just turn and ask your friend to check for you. Huh? Anything? Up by the balcony as well? Anything? Not sure? Okay, don't worry. That's why it's called thumbs five. Huh? No, but I want you to know, I'm actually doing a structured experience for all of you. Sometimes you pray for somebody for healing, it didn't happen. So what do? Give up. No, right? No, we don't give up, right? So similarly, as we pray for signs and wonders, if it doesn't happen once, it's okay. Let's pray again. Are you ready for a second time? Okay. Now some of you say, how should I put my hand? Should I put my hand like that or like that? God doesn't need to. You know, the higher you lift, the easier to get. No, it doesn't mean... What it does is, if you feel comfortable like that, if you want to put your hand like that, also can. Oh wait, before that, can you just clean your hand just in case your hand is sweaty? So that it is nothing to do with natural phenomena, okay? Can? Now, you want to put your hand like that, up to you. Because it's more important is engage your faith. Alright? At the count of three, let's pick this prayer again. 1, 2, 3. Dear Lord Jesus, in accordance to your word, that our message is not mere words, but in the demonstration of your Spirit and power, we now ask for the release of the miraculous working power among us. Specifically, we ask for the evidence of your presence through the appearing of shining particles on our palms. Lord, please reveal yourself so that our faith may be stirred in believing you for the greater things that you can do through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please check. Okay. It helps to have a bit of house light. Anybody see? Wow, praise God. One at the corner there. One there. Yes, praise God. Where? Behind me. Where? Yes. Okay, because healing or miracles must be authentic. So sometimes you see shining particles, actually it's your sweat. Alright, so you just clean it out, alright, and then pray again. Why? Because I feel like signs and wonders must be authenticated. It cannot be just, you know, overexcited, we declare everything as miracle. No, let's be chill about this, okay? Let me just show you how it looks like. It looks like that, alright? So if it's sweat, you cannot... It cannot go off. Alright? And it is a sparkle that stays. Can you see this one? Right? It is a sparkle there. Alright, so some people, to play safe, you just take a picture. Then you look at the picture. Alright, because it may come up more clearly for you. Right? Ken? Okay, don't take out your handphone now. Oh, you have that? Praise God. Yes. How many more? Okay, I see. Wow, right at the back as well. Praise God. I've been praying for people at the back and balcony. I hope that you'll get something too. Yes, praise the Lord. Okay. This is prayer number 2. Let's pray again. Number 3. Okay, come. Don't look at your hands now. Let's look to God. Huh? The emphasis is God. Let's look to God. At the count of 3, let's make this prayer together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Dear Lord Jesus, in accordance to your word, that our message is not mere words, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, we now ask for the release of your miraculous working power among us. Specifically, we ask for the evidence of your presence through the appearing of shining particles on our palms. Lord, please reveal yourself so that our faith may be stirred to believe you for greater things that you can do through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please check your hand. Any new discovery? Yes. Those of you who see your hand, can you help me to check the others as well? Right? Sometimes your faith can pass on to others as well. When you step up in faith, your faith actually encourages others. All right? Anybody else got new one? Wave at me, Ken. Oh, right at the back. Praise the Lord. Yes. Wow, right at the back. So carrying two baby also can. Praise God. All right. Huh? Up at the balcony. Praise God. Wow, at the back. Yes. All right. Are you ready for prayer number 4? Right, prayer number 4. Let's go. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, faith may be stirred to believe you for greater things that you can do through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's do one more check quickly. Faith is building up. Okay, because of time, let me move on to prayer number 5, Ken. Now, prayer number 5 is something different. Prayer number 5, I'd like you to change the prayer for yourself. Now, by the way, I want you to know I'm actually modeling for you how to pray. That's why I have a prayer up there for you. Alright, for some of you, you say that specifically we want to ask for the evidence of your presence through your healing on my body. For some of you, you say, it's just like Louisa, I don't need the signs, I don't need the shining particles. In fact, we have an elder who had it on his hand this morning, and he was just telling me, I was surprised that it came on me because I don't need evidence already. And for some of us, we need something else. Fill up whatever there's something else for yourself. Okay? Make this the 5th prayer something personal. I trust that you have seen enough people who have received it already. But more importantly, for some of you, you need something personal. Make the 5th prayer for yourself. Alright? That we want to claim that our gospel is not mere words, but of the demonstration of power. And we want to ask God to make manifest in some area of your life. Alright? So at the count of 3, make this prayer for yourself. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Amen. Please be seated. I need to debrief this exercise. Alright? Allow me to just debrief this exercise for all of us. Now, I want to, because just now, maybe we can't see everybody, but for those of you, you saw something on your hand, the shining particles on your hand, can you just stand so that we can see where you are? We just want to see how many people receive it. Okay? Can we give the Lord a big hand? Alright? Now, just remain standing. Just remain standing for a while, okay? So we do quick approximation. So maybe about 20 plus 30 of us. Right? 40. About 40. Now, the question is this. Do you think they are more spiritual than you? Do you think they are... Okay, that's why I said debriefing, huh? Do you think they are more spiritual than you? Only one answer, though. I think they didn't get your cue. One more time, huh? Do you think they are more spiritual than you? No. Right, please be seated. Now, I want to process this so that we don't walk away with the wrong experience, okay? So, some people say, Pastor, I pray very hard. I still didn't see. Right? Or some of you may say, but Pastor, how come not 100%? Let me give you my golden answer. My answer is, I also don't know. The things of God, the mystery of God, remains as a mystery. Sometimes we all humans try to create a logic to it. We try to give a theory to it. Sure, I think there's a place for researcher, Bible scholar to do that. But I fear sometimes we rationalize the things of God too much. There are things in the spiritual realm that's beyond our understanding. Secondly, I want to say something about our prayer. When you pray for people, when you pray for miracles, when you pray for healing, and nothing happens, what do you do? Let me tell you something, please don't do. Please don't turn to the person and say, you got not enough faith lah. You see, the person receiving prayer for you is already in need. And when healing didn't come, he really doesn't need a second stroke of discouragement. Right? So what should we say? I'd like to suggest to you, this is what I would say. I will continue to pray with you until God comes through for you. Now, however God comes through, because God can come through to heal you, God can come through to comfort you. But finally, I want to point you to God. I don't want to point you to your healing. I don't want to point you to your gold dust. I certainly don't want to go to you to your palm. These few days, a lot of you come to me doing this. Please don't show me your palm, okay? I'm not a palm reader. I want to point you to God. Just now you look at the prayer is that God, I want you to manifest your presence by showering this place with your golden particles. God answered. Church, God answered. I've done this from Saturday until today. This is the third service. God has answered at every service. I want God to be glorified. I want to end this service by praying for the greatest miracle. Do you know what's the greatest miracle? The greatest miracle is a conversion of your hearts. The greatest miracle is your heart, when your heart is totally given to God. The greatest miracle is when, if you come in and you're not a Christian, when you come in, when you're not a believer, but today you walk in, you see what God is doing and your heart is moved. I want you to know, my friend, if you give your heart to Jesus today, that is the greatest miracle, because God will come into your life and do something so radical that your life will be completely changed for the glory of God. God will take over. If you receive healing, you may still die one day. You receive a word of encouragement, it will go one day. But when you receive the Lord in your life, it will never leave you. That's the greatest blessing. That's the greatest miracle. Now, I know that even for us, a crowd like this, there'll be some Christians. You may have never really given your life fully to God. Today, I see God works in a wonderful way. I want to encourage you, why not you give your life fully to God? So I'd like to encourage us. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do His works right now. In a crowd like this, there may be some of you here, you've never given your life fully to Jesus. Today, as you see what the Lord is doing, and you say you have to invite Jesus into your life, this is what I'd like you to do, because faith must accompany by works. I want to encourage you, if that's your desire, count on three. I want to encourage you to lift out your hands. By lifting out your hands, you're saying to God, God, I believe. I lift out my hands as my work of faith that I believe. Right? So if you are Christian or non-Christian, if that's how God speaks to you today, you want to give your heart fully to God, at the count of three, you lift up your hands. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Lord, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here. I want to pray for these hands that are lifted up to you. Lord, may you touch them. May you do a divine exchange for them. Do a complete heart change over for them, so that their heart may be totally yours in Christ Jesus. That from this day forth, that their life will be radically different for the glory of God. That they will become the walking signpost that point people to Jesus. Bless them, keep them, watch over them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we all stand? I'm going to bring this service to a close. Church, I want to leave you with this. The greatest blessing that we can bring to God is to give to God a surrendered life. We want to please God. We want to honor God. The best way to honor God, the best way to please God is to live by faith in a surrendered life. And we're going to ask Joel to lead us in this song, I Surrender All. And as we sing that, for those of you who lift up your hands, I want to encourage you, put feet into your faith. Come to the altar, to your left. And I want to encourage you to do one more thing for me. Can you kneel down? I don't believe that our church can be a kneeling church. private joke. But can you come to the front and dedicate yourself afresh to God? And make your prayer before God. God, I give my heart totally to you. Put feet to your faith, alright? Yours is our faith and work. So put feet to your faith. Come to the front and kneel down. But I know in a crowd like this, some of you need prayer. Maybe you need a physical touch. You need a healing. I want to encourage you to come to your right. There will be elders, pastors to pray for you. For those of you who lift up your hands, and I want to encourage you to come to the front and make a fresh altar to God. Dedicate your life afresh. As we sing this song, I Surrender All.
I surrender all.
Come as we sing this song. Come.
I
even up at the balcony, you're never too far from God. Come. If you need prayer, go to your right side. But if you want to dedicate yourself afresh, come. Give your heart fully to Jesus. And allow Him to make your life a living miracle.
I surrender all. And I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Thee. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. And I surrender all. And I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. And all Jesus, I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now, and I surrender all, and I our prayer, and I surrender all.
Lord, this is our prayer. Lord, we surrender all. Lord, may you bless these brothers and sisters as they come and make a fresh dedication to you. Lord, do a miracle in their hearts today. Do a divine heart exchange for them, so that their hearts will always be filled with the agenda of God. That their hearts will be the place where you will reign supreme. Lord, mark this life. Make these lives living miracles for the glory of God. Lord, we pray for these who have come for prayer, for healing, for a special touch. Lord, we thank you for your presence that is already here. And we pray that you bless them, you minister to them, you help them to find resolution in Jesus. And Lord, for all of us in BBTC, Lord, help all of us to live a surrendered life to Jesus. That Lord, that when you speak, we will obey. That we will live out a faith with works, so that God, that you may be glorified, so that you may be pleased with us, so that our faith may be complete. Hear our prayer today, because we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The service is over. But if you need prayer, please come. We are here for you. Alright, just come.